This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Monday afternoon and a beautiful Monday afternoon at that. And here's some even better news. When you get off work, whether it's 5 or 6 like us, it's going to still be light out until about 7:30 tonight. I mean, let's say 7:15, 7:20. But we have been so much looking forward to this. And this stretch of weather that we're experiencing, I will take it for sure.
Yes.
Because this is beautiful. We had Dave Murray on last week. Let's see what the updates are for the next couple of days because it's really, really, really nice. All right, so we're at, what are we right now in the
71?
75. I have.
When I got here.
I have 75 right now.
Okay.
Officially from the National Weather Service. Tomorrow's high 78. It's going to get into the upper 40s tomorrow night into Wednesday, but 78 Wednesday, 78 Thursday, 82 and windy on Friday,
and then,
71 Saturday, 44 on Sunday.
That's where
but
it
you know what
you.
Though, it does hit you on Sunday, but we're back up into the 60s and yeah, the week after this doesn't look as good.
Yeah.
But we'll take
we'll take this week
I
and
think
run.
We will. So I don't know if you noticed this, Sue. We haven't talked about this yet, but I was watching something and I saw the trailer for this come up.
Seven children. Six animals, two parents.
Wild family.
Why are we eating chocolate?
Get off your phone.
Okay.
Don't be in that pool.
Gross.
What's the matter?
My son lost his mom in the most unthinkable tragedy. This is never something to forget.
And we're trying to parent through it.
Honestly, from the bottom of my soul, I don't know where I'd be if I didn't have you and these kids.
So Alec Baldwin accidentally kills his director on a movie set, and he could have kind of gone quietly and said, you know what, that was a very traumatic thing. I don't want to draw any more attention to myself. But instead, his decision,
oh,
and you know,
dear.
And I've been trying to go easy on Alec Baldwin just because I don't think he should really be the person culpable for that. But this makes me maybe go in the other direction. This guy wants to draw more attention to himself and this whole shooting with a reality show about his family. And that's what's happening
it.
Here.
I really don't. And his wife, remember, what did she fake?
Was Spanish.
She like, faked
accents.
Being Spanish.
Yes, she faked her whole identity.
Yes.
So, like, a year after that and a year after all this, well, this goes back a couple of years with the shooting, they think that this is something that would be good for them. Now, here's the other thing. You heard this in the trailer. I think I had forgotten some of this stuff. I don't know how they have the time. They have seven kids, six under the age of 10. Six! I've got one who's 10 who just turned 10, and I can't handle one. Now, I'm not a Hollywood celebrity, but still. They have three homes, including a penthouse in New York City, a 10-acre estate in the Hamptons.
Sure.
And I guess some people think they could use a rest, but no, they're not going to do this. This just seemed like one of the worst decisions that you could make.
I agree with this, and I wonder if their thought is, we're going to show people that we're not a big liar about where we come from and a murder person. We're going to try to show you we're just normal, except we're super rich with seven kids.
Yeah.
And three homes.
And three homes.
So Kat Rosenfeld over at the Free Press wrote about this. And look, this is how she says, called the Baldwins, follows the Baldwin family, all nine of them, during the period in 2024 when he was still set to stand trial for involuntary manslaughter. Now, look, just having said that, you know that we cannot resist this as a society. People love this. So my expectation would be, even though, and this is what Kat writes in the Free Press, the critics, here's some of the words that they've used for this show. Distasteful, grimmer than you imagine.
Oh,
here's one. This one might be my favorite. A new low for TV, which, by the way, as Kat Rosenfeld points out, that's really something when you talk about how TV had 27 years of the Jerry Springer Show, 16 seasons of Hoarders, and then there was a series in 2005 called Sperm Race with a bunch of German men competed to see who can fertilize an egg the fastest. But if this is the low point, I'm going to have to accept that this is the low point. But people, my point is, the critics could say it sucks. People will want. We can't help ourselves, right? I'm not saying I'm going to watch it because I do think it's revolting.
I will say if it's terrible, then people will not watch it. They will tune in at the beginning, but if it's horrible, they won't watch it.
So I haven't really gotten into this very much because I'm embarrassed by it. But there's a show. Maybe I did mention it last week or once or twice. There's a show that we have been drawn into as a family called The Traitors, which is on Hulu. I think it's maybe an FX show. It's a reality show, and it's really one of the dumbest out there. The problem we got into is we watched the first two seasons. The third season just wrapped, okay? And I'm literally on the finale, and I can't believe I made it through this. But it was frustrating because the first two seasons, and what it does is it takes all these people, you know who Alan Cummings is, the actor, very flamboyant, you know, British actor, Scottish actor, set it at his castle in Scotland, which I don't think it's his, but it's a beautiful castle. And you have all these other reality show stars. Like for this season, Boston Rob, who is very famous on Survivor, was a contestant. Most of the other people I don't know. Like there's people from Big Brother. I've never watched that. But what they do is they all go to Alan's castle, and there's, I don't know, 20 of them to begin with. And three people are picked by Alan. They're pressed on the shoulder with blindfolds on to be a traitor. So let's say it's you, me, Fred, Ethan, and one person in that group is a traitor, right? Well, we don't know who got pressed, so you got to fake the other people out. It's ridiculously dumb. I'm just telling you the setup so I can get to the point
here. What are we trading you in on?
It's an elimination show. So every week they bring people to this table, and then you have to banish someone, right? And then the second part of it is the people who are traitors get to murder someone, as Alan would say. A murderer, or are you a traitor? So after the banishment thing, Sue, don't watch this because I'm telling you it's so bad.
It sounds awful.
It's awful. So after the banishment thing, the traitors have to decide who to remove, and then they all show up at breakfast the next morning and someone's not there, right? Unless you have a shield. You could have a shield. I bring all this up because
my head hurts.
Yeah. It's such a bad show. And I sit there and I'm just kind of been watching it. Oh, one of the things I was going to tell you is that the first two seasons we watched with Alexa. And then we tried to watch the third season because it was sort of a thing we were doing as a family. And even though it's a terrible show, I made the sacrifice because it was a family show that we were watching. Well, they decided to make the third season TVMA. Which means they were dropping F-bombs and stuff like that.
Oh, no.
We didn't let her watch it, even though she's kind of exposed to that household. But no, but Becky and I have watched it. We're literally on the last 20 minutes. I can't wait to get done with it. But this is a show that's gotten a lot of attention because I think the ratings are pretty good. It is one of the dumbest shows I've ever watched in my life, but I've watched it.
What channel is it on? Where do you stream it
it? Oh, no, I think I said Hulu. It's on Peacock.
Is this based for U.S. audience or British audience?
Fred, that is a very good question. This is why you're a Hall of Famer. There are allegedly multiple traitors across the planet. So they have like an Australian version. They have a UK version. But this is all American. Well, in theory, there was one British dude who claimed to be a part of the royal family. But yeah, good question. There are others out there. So in other words, should I choose to, if I wrap up this Traitors, I could watch one from Australia or something else. If I want to see more dumb television, yes, I have the ability to do that. But there are people out there listening right now that have watched this because my kids watch it too, which, by the way, is why they changed it to TVMA. Their audience is not a 10-year-old little girl in families. Their audience is 20-somethings, 30-somethings, and apparently me, because I'm not very smart. But let's do this afternoon.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Well, if you're still recovering from springing forward, are you, Fred? How do you feel?
I was tired yesterday.
Yeah, I'm still tired. What about you, Mark?
Well, I haven't slept very well the whole weekend, so yes. But I'm fine with the adjustment. You know, I'll watch a little Traitors tonight and settle in, and everything will be good.
That'll put you to sleep. Experts, today is National Napping Day. I think they do that on purpose so that we can all take a little nap afterwards. Not that that's happened. Experts, we talk about this periodically, recommend a 20 to 30 minute nap to feel energized. A 60 minute nap will make you feel more rested, but you'll probably feel lethargic and groggy when you wake up. And if you're out for longer than that, you'll enter REM sleep, and that means you're also probably sleep deprived. So if you're not a napper, you're supposed to celebrate by going to bed early tonight, and then you can jumpstart that by exercising a little this evening or enjoying a hot bath or shower. Fred, any of these things appeal?
No.
Yes.
I got to the point last night where it was about 12:30 and I still couldn't get to sleep. And I'm thinking, oh, well, it's really only 11:30 because we sprang forward. That's not too late. But by the time it's 1:30, then you're like, wait a second, it's 12:30.
Yes.
I need to get to sleep.
Everything you said, yes.
I love this change of time, but now I have to walk the dog in the morning with a flashlight.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. For how long, though? Not for too long. Because
not
it'll
too
start.
Long, I hope not.
But by the way, here's a question for us. Yes. Relevant, because Fred will not be here in the next couple of weeks. He's going to Japan. What's the time difference in Japan? Do you
exactly
know?
Exactly 12 hours. So it's 4:18 a.m. tomorrow morning right now there.
So what time is Marie getting you up on this trip? Can we do a live hit with you at about 5:30? That would
question.
Be
solid
you'll
question.
Be up at 5:30 in the morning, right?
5:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Wow.
Check with your wife.
I will. I'll
I'm kidding, Fred. We don't want you to think about that. I'm serious here. We're going to try to guide Fred into a direction of not even thinking about the show for 2 weeks. Now, we know that that's impossible, but we want him to have a good time.
I already sent you all the WhatsApp information so I can contact you.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I got a WhatsApp text or message from Fred on Saturday, was it? And I said, Fred, this is how I communicate with my niece in the Netherlands. Yeah. And he said, oh, you're hip now, Fred.
I said, I feel like I'm wearing big boy jeans.
That's true.
And I haven't used the WhatsApp since we had the group in Spain a couple years ago. And it was something we used, like I even told you last week, if the group would get a little too, you know, ahead of themselves or someone would get lost, we would hit the WhatsApp and then bring them all together.
And that's what our tour guide said.
Right.
We needed to keep track of you all.
Yep. Mm. Smart thing to do.
We do have a little music for on this day in history because it was 10 years ago in 2015 that Pharrell Williams and Robin Thicke were ordered to pay $7.3 million to the estate of Marvin Gaye. Now, this is one of those mashups. So it's the similarities between Blurred Lines and Marvin Gaye's song Got to Give It Up.
Now it's got the same beat.
It does.
Right? You know, there's a really, really good movie called Piece by Piece that is essentially a biography of Pharrell, and it's told like a Lego movie. So it's told with Lego characters, and the only downside of the movie is it's really good. I mean, I didn't know a lot about this guy and how much he really played a role in a lot of the music scene with the beats
that he
created. Right, exactly. Yeah. But the one thing that they don't touch in that movie is this controversy. They don't touch it at all. Yeah.
I guess I kind of get that, but... Fred, I thought of you when I read this story. Spring cleaning. Well, it's actually both of you because Mark is a cleaner.
I am.
Spring cleaning season is coming up. So here's the question. Could you get rid of a third of your stuff and not know the difference? Now, see, there's Fred's answer.
No.
Mark, could you do it?
My answer is no at the current time, but it's yes because I did it. In the last 10 years, we've absolutely gotten rid of a third of our stuff.
Because a third? That's impressive.
I would say yes, because the amount of stuff, I had a storage locker that I had before I moved into this house, and we've done two or three times with big dumpsters. So I'm impressed.
I really am. I'm trying to take two houses and reduce it down into one. And that's going to be a process. We shall see how that works.
Got rid of all my CDs, for example. That was controversial.
Oh.
Donated my CDs. I'm like, how am I going to need these? Donated all of my DVDs. And I had a lot of DVDs, but it's all digital. So what is the purpose of having these things in boxes? So I made tough calls. My wife and I both did. But I'm telling you, the next time I need to move, Hopefully that won't be soon, but that'll be a much easier process.
Listen, the goal here is to bring nothing that you don't want into this new house, and we'll see how that goes. We're not in it yet.
It's not easy, but yeah, it's worth it.
The average American says 34% of the junk they own is stuff they don't really need or rarely use, but it depends on how you define the word use. Fred, do you use your stuff that you can't get rid of?
I like it all. I don't know when I'll use it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking in retirement.
Right. And by use, you mean get out and look at it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that.
It gives me pleasure.
You won't. Though.
It brings him joy.
You won't.
But he won't.
Your kids are going to be dealing with it. They're going to say, why did Dad hang on to this stuff? He could have gotten this much.
But some of it they might like.
Or in 2025, he could have gotten this much for it.
Oh, dear. 27% is stuff we're hanging on to for sentimental reasons. That's partly Fred. 29% of it is collectibles. That's also Fred.
Well, that's a big part of Fred.
And... So they say, Fred, 50%. Well, I'm afraid you are. But they say that these other items spark joy, which is what you're saying.
That's me, too.
Yes. So they say it's not really junk. The poll who asked the people to name the weirdest stuff they collect, answers include 200 oil-burning lamps, 300 coasters from breweries, lots of vintage handkerchiefs, say what, porcelain pigs, and clowns. I want none of that. But Fred, you have a better taste than that. You're not collecting all that.
Remember during much simpler times when people literally, like a lot of people did this. I know my mom and dad did because they were smokers, collected matchbooks.
Everyone had matchbook collections, right? I'll bring them in.
There you go.
Do you have those too? Oh, I love that.
That was like a big deal in the 70s, I think.
Yeah, it kind of was. Okay, I have so many nice stories. All right, I'm going to go with this one. David Craning owns a place and also a convenience store. He has what is an old VHS store. He's got a Blockbuster e-video, except it's only his. It's not Blockbuster. And he's got to close it down because he's got a Blockbuster-like store. But he said that there is a woman with autism who comes in, and he does not want to close down on her. She comes in every week. So what he's done is bought a convenience store next to it. So he's going to run a convenience store, and he's carved out a corner of it and turned it into a mini video store where she can still go. And he hung on to a bunch of her favorite movies so she can still rent them.
How sweet is that?
Isn't that sweet? That's our sweet story of the day.
I love it. Good choice.
And finally, in Sue's News, we have today's random facts. Okay, have you ever seen dryer sheets labeled as vegan?
No, I have not.
I don't think I paid attention. One of the key ingredients in a lot of dryer sheets is beef fat. The dryer sheets are coated in beef fat or beef tallow to help make the clothes softer. They just don't advertise it because...
So if you're a vegan, you're not supposed to use those.
I guess not.
Interesting. You know, we have this... I use Bounce dryer sheets. I like the stuff that's not even very scented, but... My wife insists, and she challenged me on this like a week ago. She's like, someone is drying their clothes with cologne, like Drakkar Noor or something. I'm like, what are you talking about? She goes, you go outside right now and smell. I'm like, come on. I mean, well, it did. I was like, I don't know.
What?
It smelled like bad cologne, so I don't know if it was a dryer sheet that was in the neighborhood or something like that, but why you'd want it to smell like that? It did. It smelled like...
That is hilarious. Maybe they have one that's that scented.
That seems like to be a sexy man. And it could be. I mean, it seemed very strongly scented to me, but you just never know. There you go, Sue's News for a Monday. St. Louis County Councilman Dennis Hancock is coming up. He's thrown his hat in the ring for county executive. We'll get to him coming up next. Cusimano at 45.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Monday afternoon, and don't forget, since we sprung forward, it's going to be daylight a lot longer tonight, which is going to be very, very welcome. I'm looking forward to our guest at 5:07 this evening, Susan Crabtree. She's been with us before. She is a national political correspondent for Real Clear, but she's written a book called, co-authored a book called Fool's Gold, The Radicals, Con Artists, and Traitors Who Killed the California Dream and Now Threaten Us All. Susan at 5:07. Our friend Josh Krasauer, who's the editor-in-chief of the Jewish Insider, you see him on Fox all the time, he'll join us at 5:30. Plus, I'll have audio cut of the day. Mr. Cusimano's coming up to talk some hockey and college hoops and probably some baseball as well. But we're joined by Dennis Hancock, who is my county councilman in St. Louis County, but he's made a decision over the weekend that we're going to highlight here. How are you doing, Dennis? Good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate you having me on.
One thing maybe we should talk about here is that you've announced that you're not going to run for another term on the county council and run for the nomination for county executive. Does that put me in a position where I have to seek this council seat? What do you think about that?
Hey, I think you should throw your hat in the ring. I think given some of the folks that are sitting on the council, I think we could use a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, it's just I hate meetings and stuff like that. But let's talk about the decision to run for county executive. Why do this? And can you not run for both at the same time? You have to make a decision here, I guess.
No, yeah. Unfortunately, my term on the council ends at the end of next year, and that's when this election for the county executive would happen. But no, the reason I'm doing it is I've been sitting on the council now for a little over 2 years, and every day it just bothers me more and more as I watch our current county executive just not do a very good job. There's no other way to put it. When you look at, and I like to narrow things down to basically the three C's. It's crime, corruption, and competence. And unfortunately, our crime rates are not improving in the county. Our lack of competence we see coming out of the county executive's office on just simple things. The city took a lot of heat in January for their efforts during the snow. I heard from an awful lot of my constituents that the county didn't do much better in snow removal.
No, that's true. And I think we heard a lot of complaints along those lines as well.
Yeah, and the potholes that people are running into every day and those sorts of things. And that's just the base. Those are the basic tenets of government. Government should be able to do those things. And if we can't do that, then I think we're sorely lacking leadership coming out of the county executive's office. And then, as far as corruption, it's not Steve Stenger type of corruption, but it's things like paying off or trying to pay off somebody to drop out of a race by offering them a six-figure job on the county payroll, or calling the prosecutor's office to see if they have any dirt on another candidate.
Yeah.
So, it's that kind of stuff. Yeah.
These are all things, by the way, for those people listening, these are all things that have been chronicled, and you're referring to, like, even Gretchen Banger, who is one of your,
right,
current council members, who had an interesting phone call along those lines. Well, I got to know you a long time ago because you were the mayor of Fenton. How long were you the mayor of Fenton?
I was the mayor for 12 years.
So, You oversaw a that area where I live right now. You know how much that's grown, and really the whole area. Were you still there when they were developing everything that now became what was the Chrysler plant? You played a role in that as well.
That actually started after I left office, but I was involved in working with the developers and helping to get the TIF that was approved for that project through. It's a very warm, fuzzy feeling to drive by there every day and see what's going on over there.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Absolutely. Well, why do you think, though, you want to put yourself, and I kind of say this seriously, put yourself through a process like this to try to unseat King Page?
Well, somebody has to do it, Mark. And I think that When I look around, I see that I have the experience that it's going to take. I have the experience, as you mentioned, I was a mayor for 12 years. And a lot of the things that we did while I was a mayor translate, I think, at the county level very easily. You know, the economic development stuff we did. In 2006, while I was mayor, the city of Fenton had more full-time jobs per resident than any city in the state of Missouri. So we know how to attract businesses, and it's very simple. You create an atmosphere where it's easy for people to come in and do business. And that's going to attract businesses, which is going to create jobs, which is going to attract people, and hopefully stop the steady drip, drip, drip of population and jobs that we've seen over the last 20 years in St. Louis County.
I've been around, you know, this area for a couple of decades now myself, and I've been in the war room, and I'm sure you've been around these folks too, have come, like a guy like Bill Corrigan, who comes really close as a Republican in St. Louis County, and it just can't happen. It just seems like countywide Democrats always win, whether it's votes that are being dumped from North County. I'm not alleging, you know, any kind of malfeasance there, but it just seems like Republicans countywide cannot get over the hump, Dennis.
Well, and that's been the case for the last 40 years. The last time there was a Republican county executive was Gene McNary in 1986. So I think it's time for us to change that narrative. And I think that I've looked at this very carefully, and I look at numbers as much as anybody else does. And there's a path to victory here. And I'll give you an example. When 2 years ago, Sam Page was on the ballot along with four other Democrats running for county council. When you compare the vote totals for those four Democrats who ran 2 years ago to the same the vote totals for Sam Page in those same four county council districts, those four individuals outpolled him by a total of almost 19,000 votes. There's a huge weakness that Sam Page has amongst Democrats. And I think there's an opportunity there that I think if we provide an attractive alternative to Sam Page, I think people are going to look, at least give it a serious look.
So that election, just so I'm keeping track of when these things would take place, would be next August and November, or am I getting that wrong?
No, you're exactly right. It's the primary would be in August of 26, and the general would be in November of 26.
All right, but in the meantime, I want to kind of wind you back to what's going on right now. We have something called Prop B, which is on a ballot coming up here in April countywide.
That's right, and what Proposition B would do is it would allow the county council to take disciplinary action against department heads. If, for example, when our county councilor, the county's attorney, has entered into several contracts with outside counsel without any approval from the county council. And so the county executive has done nothing to curtail that because she's doing it at his behest. Well, the council can do nothing to stop that, even though the charter is clear that she can't do that without council approval. The council is powerless to do anything. What Prop B would do is allow us to take action and to discipline that employee who decides to violate the charter by taking action up to and including dismissal.
So you offered a real life example of this with something that happened with the county health department or related to some of the stuff at the Kill Shelter. Is that what it is?
Well, we saw it in the Post-Dispatch did an expose and found that even though they'd done a sunshine request that was denied by because the health department director said that the document they were looking for didn't exist. Well, it came to be that the document did exist, and then the story changed to, well, you know, are we, we looked at it, but we never seriously considered it. Well, that's a big difference than saying that it doesn't exist. And, you know, that was done by the health department director. And you know, we still can't seem to get a straight answer from her as to why would somebody have developed this plan on their own just, you know, for grins?
Yeah, so basically they were allowed, they violated the Sunshine Law, and then they lied about it.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly right. And Dr. Page has done nothing about it.
Very interesting. You know, the only thing about these, is this on the same day as when the city election will be? Is it April 8th?
Yes, April 8th.
So here I am. I live in the county. I had no idea that there was an election in St. Louis County. I guess I should have thought that. And sometimes these smaller elections, you know, have a pretty good impact or could potentially have an impact on your life. So we'll have to pay attention. Is there anything else that would be on the ballot that day of interest?
That's the only countywide proposition on the ballot.
Okay.
Is Proposition B. So, yeah, I would encourage everyone to take a serious look at it and to vote to support it. They've done that the last couple of charter changes that we've proposed from the council. The public's been very good at supporting us on those, and we would appreciate them supporting us again.
Awesome. All right. Hey, Dennis, good luck with everything. I'm glad that you were able to jump on here and give us the information. And then as I communicated with you earlier today on my Hillsborough Road issue, let me know if you find anything out, okay?
Hey, you should be getting a call from my assistant, Shannon, on that.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Dennis Hancock. I appreciate it.
All right.
And that's an issue that is not just for me. It really, that's a major road closing in my neighborhood. It affects me a lot. But over the weekend, it was affecting a lot of people. And what we found is people are coming down, just screaming down our subdivision, which does not have an outlet. So we're simply looking for a sign that says no outlet, which would indicate to people that you shouldn't drive down that road. Because it's a safety situation right now. We're coming back with Cusimano. Busy sports weekend. Head into a busy sports week. Well, we started off the afternoon with an amazing conversation, and they're always amazing, with my dear friend Ted Nugent. That was at 325. You can always use the Odyssey Rewind function and go back to listen to Uncle Ted. A fabulous conversation. We have Susan Crabtree after the top of the hour. She is great on politics and has written a book called Fool's Gold, The Radicals, Con Artists, and the Traitors Who Killed the California Dream and Now Threaten Us All. Susan at 507. Our friend Josh Krasauer from the Jewish Insider at 525. Frank Cusimano is back with us here on a Monday afternoon for his regular visit. I made the trek to Columbia, Missouri on Saturday. I suppose I'm not disappointed because I do like to go to games, but damn it, Frank, we were just not in that one from the very start. Kentucky sort of controlled that entire game.
Yeah, they did, and it's troubling because the Tigers are in a funk, and you just don't want them playing their worst basketball of the year at the end of the year when it really counts. And Mark, I don't know, moving forward, I just think that they have too many players just not playing well at the exact same time. I mean, besides Mark Mitchell, who's really playing well, even Caleb Grill was not efficient. So they got to get Bates going. That's a big thing. And Robinson's got to get going. I still think they're going to be an interesting team when they get to the NCAA tournament. But boy, they're not playing well now.
Look, this could be a situation where, you know, in a week and a half, we're talking about this team, or 2 weeks, maybe they're good enough and they go to the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. But I'm concerned because you don't, to your point, want to slide into the tournament performing like this. And look, there is a real possibility because you got hungry teams out there and they're going to play the winner between LSU and Mississippi State on Thursday. They don't get the double bye, they get one bye. But you could go into the NCAA tournament losing four in a row. Now, if that happens, you're probably dropping to the 7 or 8 line.
Yeah, you go out in the first round. Yeah, I think you could be looking at 8, which would be, you just don't want that 8-9 thing because then you got to go to number 1. Because I always thought that this was a team that's going to win 2 games in the tournament. So we'll see what happens.
I mean, Frank, they legit looked like a Final Four team that could beat anyone 2 weeks ago. Now, the Vanderbilt game was very close. They should have won that game, if we're being honest. The last two, not so good. One was on the road, so maybe they rebound, they get a little rest here, and they can do well on Thursday. But I am concerned as a fan because, you know, and we talk about this all the time, they're just doing a very Mizzou-like thing right now.
Yeah, and the scary thing is defensively because, you know, you don't win games, big games, unless you're playing defense. And Oklahoma, first 20 points were in the paint. And then Kentucky got so many open look threes. Now, Kentucky's really elite, too. But, yeah, it's troubling.
What about SLU? They had a pretty good weekend, didn't they?
Oh, my gosh. It was such an unbelievable game. They were down 6 with 41 seconds to go, as they often are. Isaiah Swope hits 2 threes. They go to overtime and win it. And Gibson Jimerson, the all-time leading scorer, finished his career with a career high on senior night, so it was kind of cool. He had 35 points. I got a quick thought on this, Mark, is that everybody talks about name, image, and likeness. You got to pay the players, you got to pay the players. And granted, you had to pay Gibson Jimerson. But after the game, I saw him walk across the court with his mom and dad and then his girlfriend's mom and dad. And make no mistakes, The name, image, and likeness money was important, but that girl was the most important thing in Gibson Jimerson staying at St. Louis University. He's been madly in love for 4 or 5 years. He wasn't going to leave SLU. He may not have told him that early to get a better deal, but she was the most important factor in him staying, as the wife or girlfriend often is.
Right, and that's awesome. So who do they play in the first round of the A-10?
They'll play the winner of Davidson and Richmond, and that'll be on Thursday at 1 o'clock Central Time. They really wanted that top four so they could get the double bye, but they finished fifth, just a game out of third place. But so they'll have to go 4-for-4. They did that in 2019. They won 4 games in 4 days. They'll have to do the same in Washington, D.C.
Hey, I think we could say that the Missouri Valley Conference did not disappoint, except for the finale just wasn't that thrilling. But that was a hell of a tournament all the way up until yesterday.
It was, and here's a team you do not want to see in the NCAA tournament, and that's Drake.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only one team in the United States of America with 30 wins, and that's the team with an enrollment of 2,700 in Des Moines, Iowa, with a 6'3 point guard named Bennett Sturts, who's one of the best players in the United States. Mark, it's crazy when you think about this story. 80% of their starting lineup was not good enough to play Division I basketball, and now they got the most wins in Division I basketball. They all had to go Division II out of high school, and they all transferred with the coach from Northwest Missouri State.
Okay, let's keep them away from Missouri as an opponent. How about that?
Oh, yeah.
Because I think you're right about that. Okay, how about the Blues? Some mixed results over the weekend with the Blues.
Well, still not bad, though. They won on Friday, and then on Saturday they tied. So they come away on this West Coast road trip with some good points, and they're still right there. There's 17 left. They're the hottest team of that three of Vancouver, Calgary, and the Blues. They're the hottest of the three. So I got to say, the percentage chances, if you look at hockeypuck.com, is not good right now. But I'll take the hottest team and just take my chances with this team down the stretch here. I still think there's a decent chance.
Hey, for those of us who are still very big NFL fans, this has been a hell of a day. Sam Darnold went to the Seahawks on a $100 million deal. The Jets got Justin Fields from the Steelers. And then Pickett went to the Browns. The Eagles traded Kenny Pickett. So there's a lot of action going on today.
Yes, the first day of NFL free agency, it's like nobody just waits around. The decisions are probably already made long before this. But now I think the most interesting thing left is Aaron Rodgers emerges as the Steelers, number one option, which would really be fascinating if they got him there. But
wait, that's where they are. That's his name connected to that now, the Steelers?
Yes.
Oh, my. I had not heard that. That I've missed. You know, I love Aaron Rodgers, but I think it's time. Isn't it time? Maybe.
I still think in the – look, he's not a top 10, but I still think he's a top 15, and in the right system with the right coach and the right offensive coordinator. And I'm not sure if it's Pittsburgh. I think the best place to go if you're a quarterback right now is Minnesota, because you had the receivers and the offensive genius as a head coach.
Yeah, I guess Sam Darnold will solve that problem. By the way, the Packers, since I'm a Packers guy, they picked up a nice free agent cornerback, Nate Hobbs. They're expected to release. Jair Alexander is amazing, but he has been injured. They're probably going to move on from him, but they signed a deal with Nate Hobbs today from the Raiders, and I like that move a lot on the defense.
And then the Rams, I hate to say it, but they made a great move. They got Davante Adams on a 2-year deal.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Well, that's not bad. Yeah, that's not bad. Obviously, he was very unhappy in Vegas, and then went to try to do something with Aaron, and that didn't work out. So good for him, Davante Adams. All right, Frank, enjoy the week. Let's see. We'll talk a lot of college basketball on Friday afternoon.
Sounds great. Thank you, sir.
Take care. That's Frank Cusimano from KSDK. He joins us every Friday and Monday, and it's going to be a busy, busy sports week. Coming up, Susan Crabtree, who has been a guest before. She's the national political correspondent for Real Clear Politics. But in this particular instance, she's written a book called Fool's Gold. She's co-authored this book, which is, I think, out this week. Might even come out tomorrow. The radicals, con artists, and traitors who killed the California dream and now threaten us all. In the second segment, we'll talk a little bit politics with Josh Krasauer. Here's what the reaction to Van Jones on the future of the Democrats on CNN was. I like this a lot.
They still seem to be wandering around trying and figure this out. What's your take?
Can we ask another question? Do I have to talk about my own party? Can we talk about Ukraine or something? No, no.
He's admitting that things are rough for the Democrats.
Look, man, we're screwed. I mean, we don't know. No, Democrats don't know what to do. This is a nightmare. You know, somebody like Donald Trump, we thought we'd at least have, you know, Hakeem Jeffries in the speaker's chair to hold him back if we didn't have Kamala in there to do the right thing.
Yeah, they're kind of lost right now. And that's just the way that it is. And I don't think they know how to handle it. That was Van Jones on CNN. But Josh will have something to say about that. Plus, of course, we have audio cut of the day in the next hour as well. Enjoy the sunlight.
Get more at 971talk.com.